Specials podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello, everybody. Welcome along to the Specials podcast, our weekly look at all things special, basically. Mainly X Factor and Strictly Come Dancing with the reality Rob Dixon, the trader who puts all these prices out for us, and our expert on Strictly Come Dancing and X Factor, Andy Holding. Hello, chaps.
Good morning.
Hello, Lee. And
a role reversal.
Rob.
You're in the studio, Andy, and Rob, yes. You're on the phone.
Yeah, it makes a change.
Just one of these days, I'll get you both in the studio. Or both on the phone.
Yeah, next week could be a runner, I think.
Okay, are you in next Friday?
Yeah. I am next week.
Wow!
Not Friday.
Wow! Excitement, set your alarms. That'll be a podcast to listen to for sure.
I did have to actually set my alarm this week.
It's
a 7 o'clock start to get and to do the Dundalk podcast.
Do the Irish podcast.
I had to do the Dundalk podcast before I come out at 9, so I forwarded that.
Unbelievable.
Got in the shower quick, got out for 10 o'clock, and up here by 12:30.
This is commitment for you.
What amazing commitment!
Let's have a look at Strictly Come Dancing first, shall we? We'll move on to X Factor. We're in the middle of the longest show in the history of the world on X Factor. As for Strictly, we're up and running, and I'm delighted to say, Andy, just a brief pat on the back first. We started off with a winner.
We did.
First elimination. I know we had a bet the week before that when we were kind of blind to everything, but the first proper week, winner.
Yeah, well, once we saw all the facts and we got a general feeling of how the voting was going, who was popular and who wasn't, and of course what they were dancing last week, it was fairly straightforward to deduct it and get it down to two or three, and then you just look at the prices, and obviously Ewan didn't make a particularly good job of his dance, and you know, the rumours were that he wasn't that popular anyway.
Yeah,
with the general voting public.
Neither is Ola.
Unfortunately, they went out.
The outright market, yeah, brilliant for us. Outright market now shows Peter Andre, as we kind of said, he'll just get shorter and shorter every week. 2-1. The big move, though, Jay McGuinness. We told you about this guy before the show started from Robbie Savage's mouth. Now 3-1. Katie Derham, 9-2. Helen George, 7-1. Anita Rani, 10s. Georgia May Foots drifted out in the betting at 12-1 now. So is Kelly Bright, 20s. Ainsley Harriet, 33. Same as Daniel O'Donnell. Jamelia, big drifter, 40-1. With Kirsty Gallagher also out to 40s, Anthony Gogo 50-1, and then the two outsiders, Carol Kirkwood and Jeremy Vine at 100-1. What did you make of last week overall, Andy? Do any of those market moves surprise you?
No, not at all, no. Particularly the one for Jay McGuinness. I actually had my first bet on the outright markets this week, and I took some 7-2 about Jay. I had a feeling going into last week he was going to shorten up quite dramatically. I thought he did a really good job, probably a better job actually in the waltz with that Alione than he did previously, his first dance. He just comes across as being a nice guy, doesn't he, this fella? And I think a lot of people are really warming to him. The polls are very good. Again, I looked at the Digital Spy polls, which usually is a fair barometer. It's guided me in the right direction on many, many occasions. And he was by far and away the most popular dancer. Stroke, he did the best dance, 33%. Again, which is very close to last week. I think he did, yeah. I think he was on 35%. 32,000 YouTube hits yesterday afternoon. Obviously, that might have increased, or the others might have caught up with him subsequently. But topping each poll again, and he's got a really good dance for him this weekend as well, which should cement his position, if not shortening his price up again. He's got the jive, he looks good, he's got the flicks and kicks going. He's obviously very light on his feet, and he's a young, energetic lad, so he shouldn't have any problem with it. I just think the chemistry between him and Aliano is fantastic. Obviously, there's rumours going around, isn't there, in the press? Are they, aren't they? Is the Strictly striking again? Rumours that Aliona's husband is not all that happy with the way they're cozying up. There's been secret photographs of them in the tabloid. So it's all kind of like that air of mystique, that kind of like... he's just building up beautifully with these two. I think he's, as I've said along, I think Peter Andre is still the wrong favourite. I know you keep saying he's going to shorten up, I disagree totally. I think he's a good lay at the moment. If you're a bookmaker, you just want to get him in the yard and just keep taking the money, because I don't think he's as good as what everyone makes out.
Fair enough. Rob, what about the money side of things? Has anything really shifted the market for you this week?
No, Jay was probably the biggest move in the market. I think he was 6-1 before last week, halved in price now to 3. I'm probably leaning more towards you than Andy on the Peter Andre thing, because I think at some stage of the show, I don't think with him at the moment, the dancing really matters as much. I think he's definitely getting preferential treatment off the producers. He got a late slot again last week to go with his late slot on the first first 2 weeks shows. He was the only one to have got that. I went through all the things. I think he was on, so it was either Nick Delaus or two off the back, and everybody else who had a late slot got an early slot. Everybody who got an early slot got a late slot apart from him. So again, I mean, they don't need to be worried at this stage. I'm sure they don't need to be worried about him struggling even in the bottom two, because I think the performances, wasn't much difference in performance between this week and last week. The problem that you have with somebody like a Peter Andre is if you've started off so well, it's going to be tough to manage that throughout the course of 12, 13 weeks of a show. So realistically, you're looking at maybe, I mean, Jay performed a lot better second week to first week. You're looking at that sort of person who shows a gradual improvement, and a couple of others who showed improvement. Katie Derham, again, just small steps that they look, and Katie Derham's another one who's been quite popular this week.
If you're going to take in sides while you're listening to this and thinking that you either agree with Andy on the Jay argument or you agree, I suppose, with Rob or I, that Andre will stay out in front, there's a great little market for you here. If you go onto the main page of all the Strictly Come Dancing betting, there's a match bet. Peter Andre 4-9 to go furthest. Jay McGuinness 13-8. I know which side you'll be clicking on that.
It's a no-brainer, isn't it? Interestingly, he's only as short as 5-4, 11-8. I think Rob might be standout 6-4 anyway in the top boys market, but this effectively is the top boys market in a nutshell, isn't it? So you're getting a better price in a match. You haven't got to worry about anyone else anyway, so I think that's an amazing price, Jay McGuinness to beat Peter Andre. I'd almost say that's the better of the series for me, that.
You're only in the second week.
Still likes it.
Still like the bet.
Still likes it. Yeah. Still likes it.
So the other match bets there: Helen George v Georgia May Foot 8-13, 6-5. Katie Derham's 2-7 to beat Kelly Bright 5-2. Kirsty Gallagher and Jameel is a pick'em at 5-6 each. Also on the same page there, you get all the enhanced favourite doubles for X Factor there as well. By the way, we'll maybe touch on that a little later. We've got a couple of other markets, of course. The elimination market, we'll come on to that in a second. But let's have a look at this week three highest scorer market. Peter Andre and Jeanette high scored last week with 60. Not far behind them though, Jay and Aliona and Helen and Aliash, both on 58. And let's not forget that Jay and Aliona top scored the week before that as well, in the second of the dances on the opening week of the show. So it's a pretty tight one, this one. A bit of a drop back then to Kelly and Kevin on 54, with Katie and Anton and Anita and Gleb. Then you drop back to 52 for Georgia and Giovanni. Then you're into the 40s for the rest of them. Interesting note on this one, Andy. This is where we need to kind of look at what we're dancing this week and which dance suits which couple, I guess.
Yeah, I think, to be fair, despite me not being a massive advocate of Peter Overall's position as head of the market, I've got to agree that he's a worthy favourite based on what he's doing this week. Whether he's 11 or 8 shot, he's having to debate. I certainly wouldn't be backing him at that price myself. He's doing the Paso Doble, which should suit him, of course. He's a very masculine, macho man anyway, isn't he, Andre? And he's got that sort of like dark Latin look about him, and he's got good attack, and he's gonna do it well. What we've seen in training, he looks pretty accomplished, and I'm sure that'll get better as the week goes on. Janet, of course, great choreographer, who he's with. He's going to score very high. He's already scored high in 2 weeks. The judges are not exactly looking to throw him under a bus just yet. I think they want to keep their number one star very much on top. Mm-hmm. So I agree with Rob with the actual favourite. But if they were betting without the favourite here, which obviously isn't the case, you'd certainly make cases out for Jay and for Helen. Jay's got the jive, which traditionally is quite a good scoring dance. as I said in my preamble with Jay, as an overall performer, I think he should do that particularly well. And Helen, of course, comes in with a foxtrot, which is a very light technical dance. She looks really accomplished. She had obviously one or two problems last week doing the cha-cha, which was in the Latin, not having the sort of bending the legs. She had the straight legs. She had the ballet legs, didn't she? Where she wasn't bending her legs properly. But other than that, she did a pretty good performance. I still think the dark horse of one of them is Anita. I think Anita and Glib are going quite well at the moment. Good Charleston last week. They're doing the American Smooth. That should really suit her as well. She comes across as being pretty much a lady capable of doing anything. Anita. Mm. She's just got a great body for dancing, and I think they're going to go far. So it's an interesting little market this week. Whether I'd ever bet any of those odds is up to question. I suppose if you force me down into a corner, then I'd suggest Jay at 4-1 is a smidgen, only a smidgen of value.
Yeah. Rob?
Yeah, it was a tricky one. It's sort of almost the order moment of the outright, isn't it? But I couldn't really. The only one I was struggling with when I was pricing it was Kelly Bright, I think, at 12-1. I think she might be. If Jay's a smidgen of value at 12, then a couple of 27s. I think it was a better 27 than last week, than the first week. So I can see her just continuing that improvement. Whether it's going to be enough, you're probably going to need maybe 32.
Yeah, that's what you mean. Yeah, doing the Charleston, isn't she?
She's doing the Charleston, which, I mean, she's got a great personality anyway, isn't it, Kelly? Yeah. And with Kevin, the Charleston's a funny one, isn't it? Because if you get it right, it can go through the roof, can't it?
Yeah.
It can be a bit of a showstopper. It has been. I remember when what's her name, Collins did it. Chris Hollins did it.
Oh yes, yeah.
That was the one that changed his series, wasn't it? He went from being mid-table sort of Stoke West Ham to being Chelsea, didn't he?
not anymore.
After doing the Charleston, it was like who saw that coming?
Yes, yeah. I know what you mean.
All of a sudden, it can really ramp you up. So Kelly has got a good chance with that.
I just think 12-1. 12-1 is probably a bit of value, and that's probably the way I'd go. That was the only one really.
If it was an each way market, that'd be a great each way market.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think
you're not doing that though, are you, Rob?
No, definitely not. Out of the 14, that was probably the one that I was struggling where to sort of pitch her. But
fair enough. The elimination market sees Anthony Gogo and Carol Kirkwood as the joint favourites at 7-2. Jamelia's 9-2. Jeremy Vine 11-2. Kirsty Gallagher 6-1. Daniel O'Donnell 8-1. Then a jump up to 12s for Ainsley Harriet, and then a big jump up to the rest, 33-1. Bar there. You look at, Andy was alluding to the YouTube videos earlier on. It's a good idea, along with the polls online, to find out who's the most popular, and we used that to good effect with Ewan and Ola last week. Yeah, I mean, you look at those again, Andy.
Yeah.
And, you know, you look at someone. I mean, Daniel O'Donnell, for instance, right.
Incredible.
Up there.
Absolutely.
32,000 views, and probably, you know, if you did a couple of refreshes, you might be up to 32,000 views there. That you're looking at Jeremy Vine here with 5,500 views, which is poll. Really, Carol and Pasha with 5,200 views. The interesting one for me is Anthony Gogo, 6,200 as well. So really, you've got those. I mean, there are others who, you know, Kirsty's around the 12,000 mark, you know, and some of the others aren't doing particularly well either. But I mean, you have to say that they are strong. I'm actually looking for Jamelia. Am I missing Jamelia's here? I can't see Jamelia's video.
Yeah, Jamelia's quite low down as well. She was...
Her video's not even on here.
No, she wasn't too bad. She was 13,000 for a cha-cha.
So you're looking at it. If you're taking that on account, Carol seems to have that goodwill behind her and a BBC Breakfast support. And, you know, you always need someone in there who's going to be, you know, a little bit rubbish. Anthony Gogo just doesn't register, does he?
No. He's my bet for the week. Second to go. We got the first one right. Hopefully we get it right on week three. You've hit the nail on the head. First of all, he's not massively popular on the polls. Digital Spy, completely low. He didn't even register a percent.
Right.
0.7%. He's actually under one, which is not great. Only 6,000 on the playbacks on YouTube as well for the waltz. If he gets an early slot, I think he's in big trouble as well. Mm-hmm. But he's also doing a bad dance for him this week. We obviously know he's got a bad arm and he's trying to protect it. The one thing you do need in the Paso Doble, which he's doing, his great armography, you need to show that power. You need to, you know, putting your arms above your head. And obviously, he's only going to be doing it with one arm.
Yep.
So the effect of the Paso Doble is not going to be as great as what it would be because of, obviously, Anthony's impediment. And I think he's going to be in big trouble this week. Plus the fact that OT, obviously, is dancing with nothing wrong with OT. This is not a character assassination by any stretch of the imagination, but she's one of the new dancers. And of the new dancers coming through, she's probably got the the less charisma, let's say, and she's easier forgettable as some of the others.
Yeah.
So putting the two together, and the dance and his general overall popularity, I think 7-2 is a fair enough price, considering Ewan had similar a profile last week and he was only a 5-2 shot.
Yeah, I must admit, when I saw the 7-2, I like that, Rob. Nice price.
Can't really disagree with what you said. There's not really an anti-argument. The only one you might have is maybe there'd be a sympathy vote if the arm injury or the shoulder injury gets any worse, and maybe they think, well, if we can keep him going for the next sort of, if they think it's going to get better, maybe just try and keep him going for the next 2-3 weeks.
There's no real need. There's no real reason, is there?
I think it's a put him out of his misery job, because it's only going to get worse.
Still gets paid the same amount.
The fact they've given him a dance where the arm movement is going to be important to the dance,
yeah,
probably makes you think that they are, going to try and put him out of his misery quite early.
Yeah.
I certainly don't think, I think Carol is safe for another week. I don't think Jamelia is, though. 9-2. I know she's got this 13,000 playbacks, but it wasn't very good last week. It needs a dramatic improvement this week.
But she still beats, if you look at the average score, her weekly score, she's still better than Anthony. And if she's got that kind of support, then all you need to do is finish above him in terms of score and popularity on the phone calls, and you beat him, don't you?
I agree, but it wouldn't be surprised to see these two in the bottom two. And then I don't think there's going to be Anthony will be decent for him to go against probably anybody now, bar Carol. But I think Jamelia, it was surprising that she's gone from sort of single figures prices before the show started out to sort of 40-1 now.
How bad is she, do you think?
I don't think she's. I don't think
she's not bad, but the points haven't really justified. She's a couple of 21s. She's her and Kirsty are the two sort of strugglers. You could have probably made a case that they would have done a lot better.
The reason I ask that is because there's just something about that pair, Jamelia and Kirsty, that makes me think one of them's going to go on a bit of a journey, and we're getting some big prices about them right now.
As of the two, I think Kirsty's more likely to. The fact that Jamelia was first up for elimination last time is a bit of a worry if you're a fan of her, because Tristan's a nice fellow as well, isn't he? They're sort of like he's got a happy-go-lucky Irish twang to him. And I think she was unlucky. It was the classic Strictly 15 in a show. She went off first. Didn't do a particularly bad dance, but it wasn't a massively memorable one. And because obviously there's other big personalities that went later on in the show and they did particularly well or above expectations. Like I say, it was a classic she's going to go or she's in the dance-off because she went first. She's definitely going to be put on a bit later this time, probably mid to sort of like towards the back. She's going to get the old sympathy bounce, as we like to call it here. There's no chance Jamelia will go this week. Not doing the dance. She's doing the salsa as well, which should be great for her character.
Yes.
Long legs. She's got good vibes about her, and I think she's a miller. I actually think Jeremy could be in trouble this week. He's doing the Charleston, but if it's like the opposite with Kelly. I think Kelly's going to do a good job there, but if he gets that completely wrong, then I think he could be in the dance-off.
Interesting.
But I think his dance will probably be more memorable maybe than Anthony's.
Very good. So a little go on Jamelia for you, Rob.
Yeah.
And Anthony a go-go.
Yeah, definitely Anthony for me. Yeah, but that's the second bet of the weekend.
Very nice. I think that pretty much does Strictly for this week. Plenty of bets there, though. Nice markets there, Rob. The X Factor, we saw, I think we were all incredulous at that show last week, was just about the girls. I think they're over-egging the six-chair challenge, whatever they call it. And it is ludicrous, isn't it? The whole concept of it. I mean, it's great TV to watch it, but by the end of it, you're just kind of thinking, yeah, we get the idea that it's a difficult thing for you to do. But the girls are decided. Louisa Johnson, Kira Weathers, Chloe Page, Lauren Murray, Monica Michael, and Hava Repka are the ones who are going through to Rita Ora's house, in inverted commas. They're going to LA with her, actually. So we do it all again this week, Rob. Wow.
Wow. We don't know which ones at the moment either.
I don't even know which one I want next, to be honest with you.
Personally, I don't know.
Let's just have a quick chat about the girls. I mean, Louisa Johnson is now the 2-1 favourite. Our friend and colleague, Dave Kellner, was asking me earlier on today, how good is she? Because he hasn't been watching that closely. And I was just saying to Andy, Robert, I don't think she's kind of at the level we've had in the past where, do you remember, when we had all that kind of, hype around some of the girls who went off really short.
Ella Henderson.
I'm thinking of the likes of the other girl.
Janet Devlin.
They were standout, and you thought, God, they're like brilliant. They could win this. I don't see that with Louisa Johnson. I know they're trying to make her that, but I don't see that real standout. Like, you get off your chair and like, wow, she's amazing.
I think vocally
she's very good. I just think the rest of the package is very weak, though. There's no sort of backstory. There's no real sort of passion to me to what she does. She's a very good singer, but that's it. We don't know. You tend not to see the main performances at this stage. So you'd wait for the first live show. You'd wait for the choreography. But at the moment, I don't see there's any real. Why would you vote for her each week?
I don't know. I guess that's my point.
To me, it's just one voice. And it's a voice which, it looks like she might go on to win the show. But I don't see that there's any real star quality about her, personally, at the moment.
Why is she so short then? Why are you not laying
her? She's a lot of short based on sort of weight of money. The problem that you've got is, if you don't think Louisa's going to win, where's your alternative going to be? There's, whatever you say about Louisa, you can pretty much compare her. You can pretty much put Kira in the same thing. But again, there's no backstory. I think Kira's the better singer. But I think everything that we've seen so far with X Factor, all the producers' elements of it, has pushed it towards Louisa winning. Now, if you remember going back to last year, the last 5-6 weeks of the show was a continual push towards Fleur winning, and in the end it worked against the producers, where people tried to get on, whether it was Andrea, whether it was Ben Haynow, they tried to just go with, they pushed it too far, and I think that's the producers' worry. Or that's been the worry of people back in Louisa, is the fact that the producers so far have given her the pimp slots. They've given her so much more airtime. In fact, they've given, as we said last week, they've given the whole girls category so much airtime.
I mean, this is a classic early knee-jerk reaction, isn't it? This 2-1 for Louisa Johnson.
Like,
I mean,
it's
a bookmaker's dream, this, isn't it? I mean, I think you've got a really, really strong year here of singers. Like I say, she's very good. Don't get me wrong, Rob. I think you're absolutely bang on with her vocally. But in a category at the moment where you could put her on a par, or put others on a par with her, Kira, Lauren, for instance, I thought Lauren was equally as good, if not better. I think she's in a scandalously short price at 2-1.
I don't think there's a lot between the six, but I don't think, while you think there's a standout, you don't really see the rest. You see, sure, Miley Moore has had good airtime. Fourth Impact, the Philippine group, have had a really good sort of airtime. But the rest of them, Che Chesterman, you didn't really see much of him in the auditions. He had a good spot in Boot Camp, but you're not getting. A lot of these would probably be shorter if they were getting the airtime. You've had a whole show, as we've said, you've had a whole show devoted to one category.
It does turn on its head very quickly, X Factor. One or two good weeks just totally flips it all around. Conversely, if they chuck you under a bus, or they just start to chip away at you like they did with Andrea last year, you've got so many possibilities. It's like a maze. It could go down so many different avenues.
The interesting thing is, the one reason that she's as short as she is that they are pushing her so much. I mean, I've just gone on the ITV.com X Factor website, and you scroll down, and look who's who the article's about straight away. Exclusive 6 things we learned about Louisa Johnson. It's the boys this weekend. That's who we're going to be watching. I know you haven't watched it from the start, Andy, but you've spent a week now immersing yourself into it, which is probably the best way of doing it.
It is.
You get a good view of it, and you've got a standout that you like.
I think the best singer in the whole program for me is Che Chesterman, without a shadow of a doubt. I don't think we've even touched the surface with this fella yet. I just think he's playing at the game at the moment. But if he gets the right stuff and they finally get to the bottom of him, pimp him up a bit and just sort of try and get that needed personality behind him, which obviously is lacking. Simon's already mentioned that, we know. But vocally, no, nobody can touch this fella. He's just in a totally different stratosphere to the rest.
Yeah, he is fantastic. We were saying before we started recording, I guess, Rob, the one worry you have with him is that even though he's young, he looks like he might have that little bit of in him where he doesn't want to sing, you know, I don't know, Elton John one week and then, you know, Queen the next. He might have a little bit of a kind of, you know, a sensibility about him where he actually wants to sing what he wants to sing. So maybe, you know, you might see that in him. It's actually the boys and the groups this week, so we're not going to be subjected to, according to the ITV website. So it's going to be Nick Grimshaw and Cheryl picking their best. Sean Miley Moore, the price is gone. I think, you know, he is the interesting one, as we've said before. As far as the groups, you know, the Fourth Impact have been the best. There's been some chat about them having to change their name, and they're very polished, though, aren't they?
They're really good.
A pop band. You know, they're probably, you know, I don't know, you know, they look like an established band. Their harmonies are always
everything.
Good.
They're very good.
They're sensational, I think. Mm. So, you know, I think, I think it'll be a safe bet that, you know, Sean Miley Moore, Fourth Impact, Che Chesterman, Josh Daniel probably, Simon Lynch is very good. They'll all be through to judges' houses, you'd think, Rob, wouldn't you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Sean Miley Moore, we had an interesting conversation. I don't know how you two feel about this. We had an interesting sort of Twitter conversation earlier in the week about Sean Miley Moore and saying, how will the British public react to an act like this? And I'm on the order that they take it very well, because it's something different to the norm. You look at how when Conchita won Eurovision a couple of years ago, the UK vote for Conchita was miles higher than any other contestant, and in the end absolutely steamrolled the competition. I think it's X Factor is getting to the point where X Factor's crying out for something different. Mm. They've wanted a decent female star. They found it with Leona Lewis, they found it with Alexandra years ago, but recently they haven't. They've had the groups, they had Little Mix, who were probably the best sort of work that they've done over the last few years. One Direction, global stars, but never won the show. I just think they're looking for something now a little bit different to sort of boost the show more, because it's the format, however much you change the format round and you do bits, it's a tired and tested format. I can understand why they're saying that they want to give it a break for a couple of years and bring it back, but I just wonder if Sean Miley Moore is maybe the sort of character that they want, maybe just that little bit different than that, but I
think that's the reason why they brought in Rita Ora and Nick Grimshaw as well. A different demographic, a younger audience, a little more of an accepting audience as well with regard to someone like Sean Miley Moore. It's no coincidence that all of a sudden he's been pushed when these two judges have come on as well. Yeah. Even Simon, he's big into Sean Miley Moore as well, isn't he?
Yeah, very, very much so. I mean, it's interesting when you look back over the last few years, Rob, because I mean, I'm not saying some of these artists were as extrovert as Sean Miley Moore is, you know, in terms of his character and the way he is on stage. But, you know, James Arthur was different, very
Absolutely,
different for X Factor.
Yeah.
Sam Bailey was different for X Factor in a completely different way, in that she was a mum. You know, she was kind of, you know, it wasn't your kind of young guy or your young pop star. I mean, Ben Hay now kind of reverted back to old type, but you did have Fleur East and Andrea Fustini in the final three, and they were both quite different. So I wouldn't be surprised if he gets to the final.
Fleur East would have won the show had it not been for what I felt was a backlash in the last couple of weeks that it was being it was a stitch up to get her to win. Yeah. I thought that they'd done the work that they needed to do, but they just pushed it too far.
Yeah.
The one thing, as Andy alluded to, but the one thing I've got against Che Chesterman is, will he conform to what they want him to do? As you said, if he doesn't want to do songs, if they see him as some sort of trouble, they will put him under the bus. They've done this before with contestants before, where you think, oh, well, they're going really well, and then suddenly they get they start arguing with their mentor, and suddenly
he's a bit young. You think he'd probably go along with it, but I think one of the things that I always look for an X Factor winner is a hard worker. They always make a massive play of this phrase, and it never really gets picked up, but they love a hard worker. You know, the one thing about Sean Miley Moore is that he's an experienced, even though we're told he's in the boys category, I'm still not sure about that, he's an experienced performer on stage in Australia. And that is hard work. When you're a dancer in a you know, kind of Broadway type thing or a West End type show, you know it's hard work. He wants fame and he wants to make this work. And I think when you look at him and hear his VTs, he's one of the ones who really, I think he'll do whatever they ask. He's used to doing whatever directors ask, you know. Whereas as a young lad, I just wonder about Che Chesterman, if he'll... If you know, it might be the first time he's been away from home and all that. But look, you know, it's, as far as the prices go, I think it's a great price at 10-1 at the moment. I think it's the best bet in there at the moment.
I do as well. Like, just because obviously we've missed a boat with Sean Martin.
Yeah,
I think he did
no
the other one win. If you're playing two against, I feel like you double those two up.
Yeah,
you avoid Eloisa, and you know, maybe Lauren Murray as well. We haven't talked about her, but I do think she's got a bit of legs.
Yeah, yeah. She was the one who was last up on the on the girls' category.
Brilliant. I thought she was
like
very good.
You used to watch TFI Friday.
Yep.
It's very cruel. Remember that very cruel feature they did that was called Fat Lookalikes?
Yes.
It's awful. I'm not going to say that. I'm just going to say she looks like Michelle Keegan.
Does a bit, yeah. Yeah.
Anything else, Rob? Did you have a little rant? Have you already done it?
No, I've done it. Well, it doesn't mean really doing now. The only thing I will say for the final bit about this X Factor thing, I listened to a radio interview with Ollie Murs over the week, and they said, they asked him, why does certain acts do really well after the show and some don't, and he says the main thing you have to do is stay level-headed, and you remember the people that have got you there. So people remember you on the X Factor has done a lot for you. If you come out straight after the show and think that you've made it as a pop star and you slag off the X Factor, that's your first sign of demise, really.
Not surprisingly, really, is it?
That seems to be what they want. They want the hard worker. They want the level-headed hard worker who will...
Don't bite the hand that feeds, as I say.
Commit to the call. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Steve Brookstein.
Absolutely, yeah.
Great case in point. That's pretty much it for for X Factor and for Strictly. There's loads more on the special pages. There's Spotty, The Voice, Oscars, Eurovision Song Contest, Christmas, James Bond, and it goes on and on and on. So check out all those markets if you're interested. Thank you, Rob.
Pleasure, mate.
Speak to you next week. You can keep up to speed what Rob's saying on Twitter, @reality_Rob. Still not got Andy on Twitter.
I've lasted this long.
You've survived, haven't you? You've survived the Twitter explosion.
I've got through the main barrage.
I'm @LeePhelps. If you want to tell Andy anything or ask him anything,
we'll relay it.
It's fine. So thank you, Andy.
No, it's been good. I've enjoyed this week, and hopefully we get a bit of joy with the betting Strictly this week with Anthony Gogo going.
Yes, Anthony Gogo.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening and downloading the podcast. If you haven't bet on any of the X Factor or Strictly markets, then very best.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.